Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
I don't know who coined the term, but the freaking weekend's coming up.
Somebody's excited about that.
You okay?
You got
squinty for a second.
A hair in my eye or something. It just hit me. Like, something just hit my eye. Sorry.
Does this help if I do it too?
Yeah, let's both squint at each other. Hey, but who cares if there's something in your eye? It's the freaking weekend. You know what?
Suddenly, bring it on.
I'm fine.
I'm going to go the other eye. That way.
I don't have a choice.
If you and I walk together, we at least have two good eyes open.
That's a good idea.
Thank you. Safety first.
Is it still in there? I'm just being extra cautious now.
Okay,
I'm good.
I've noticed an uptick in your use of eye drops lately.
There's something in the air I am definitely allergic to. You never know when it's going to hit.
You don't.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully after last night and tonight, right?
It had hard frost, right?
We're in a freeze warning again.
I at least saw it.
It's anywhere between 29 right now at the airport,
mm-hmm.
33 downtown Cedar Rapids.
I don't want to call you a liar yesterday, but I didn't see the frost.
Did I ever say you're going to see frost? Did those words ever come out of my mouth?
No.
I don't think they did they?
No, you just warned me.
You just made
myself a liar.
Out of you and me, if you know what I'm saying.
But today, I definitely saw a little bit more of a sprinkle. Sparkle on the grass.
I park outside. I use that as my measuring stick.
Is that on the car?
And this just fascinates me. The front of my car, no. Why? Because it's closer to my house, which is radiating a little bit of heat, right?
Yeah.
But the back window, frost.
Weird.
Crazy.
That is really weird.
That's fun with science.
Super fun.
Super fun with science.
You thought Science Greg was fun. Science Eric is way fun.
I could ask him why it does that, and he would tell me exactly what it is.
Hey, bro.
There's probably a law of thermodynamics.
Probably.
Be my guess.
I would think that you could get really into it, especially since it's a Friday. It's a Nerd News Friday.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Kick a couple back. Just talk science all day.
Gosh, it's the freaking weekend. You can do whatever you want,
it's
man.
It's the freaking weekend. Let's go.
I'll drink to that.
Grab your coffee. It's the freaking weekend.
I've never seen you so charged up for a weekend. You got your...
You know what it is? Part of it? I'm looking forward to a football game that's in the middle of the day.
That is kind of nice.
We still had to figure out a little bit of dog coverage, but not like, oh my God, we're going to get back at midnight. Right? Yeah.
Right.
Middle of the day football is my favorite time for football.
And it's been so rare this season.
Yes, I agree.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. No, I got some activities tonight. We're going to talk about what's on my mind and then football tomorrow. Woo!
It's the freaking weekend!
Shannon's big birthday weekend's coming up.
Ah!
If I had two guns, I would shoot them in the air right now.
Just doing finger guns in the air. Wow.
Pew, 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 pew.
Somebody is really amped up. Good.
Let's go.
This will be perfect timing for Z Sleaze, where I feel like you and I made this happen.
What?
We've been talking a lot about the Stranger Things finale, right?
Yes.
It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And each episode is like a full-length movie, right?
Right.
Well, now, this full-length movie, but it's a TV finale, going to the theaters.
Really?
I'll give you the details on that.
Interesting.
And speaking of movies, out today is that new Bruce Springsteen
biopic,
Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere. And Jeremy Allen White is playing the boss.
I know him as the guy from The Bear, but he was started on Shameless, right?
He did.
Yeah.
He was Lip from Shameless. Now he's a chef. Yes, chef. And he does a really good job of singing in this movie. So good. I'll tell you how good he is in Z's Sleaze.
I mean, the guy that did Freddie Mercury got an Oscar.
He nailed it.
Like, are we talking Oscar buzz with this?
Possibly. And then, of course, we've got Halloween, just around the corner, trick-or-treaters going to be ringing your doorbell. What do you give them this year, right? What's the hot candy? I don't have the hot list, but I can tell you what people are not looking for this year.
The not list?
The knots.
Okay.
I have some hots, but I've got a lot of knots.
Okay. Lay it on me.
I think everybody always assume we hate candy corn. Trick-or-treaters don't want candy corn.
There's a love-hate for candy corn just in general.
I don't think that it's a trick-or-treat candy.
It's a hard, well, rarely can you find small prepackaged.
Oh, that's true, too.
And
it just
it's not
sense.
Like you don't want me giving you a baggie that I made myself.
Each kid, put your hand into this big, loose candy jar. Huh?
If you find a peanut, that's mine. I picked them all out.
Gross. Candy corn is, yeah, not, definitely low
that's
on
not.
The list. But the number one most hated for kids this year?
Yeah.
Licorice.
Not something I remember getting a lot as a kid. And clearly, if you give me black licorice, I'm not going to like you.
Black licorice for sure, but I love a strawberry Twizzler.
Yes.
My kids love cherry, which we can have beef over that.
In my world, they just taste like red.
Just red licorice, as long as it's red.
Red licorice I'm okay with.
I agree.
Yes.
I think it's a fun treat,
now,
but apparently kids, not so cool.
Swedish fish, licorice or not? It's in
no.
the licorice family?
But
licorice
the flavor,
adjacent.
It's licorice adjacent.
Yes.
It's a gummy.
Okay.
It's a gummy candy.
Got it.
Because it doesn't have that licorice-y.
I don't know. Is it because of the way the licorice is made?
No, it's a fish. It's a not a licorice. It's a fish.
It's okay. Got it.
It's not licorice. It's
hey,
fish.
Children, do you want the licorice or do you want the fish? Pick one.
Marshmallow candy also dropping in interest. Not really interested in any sort of
What's a marshmallow candy?
Marshmallow candy, something that's got
like marshmallow Santas, I know.
Yes.
But I can't think of a marshmallow that comes out around Halloween.
On Halloween?
Maybe they make them. Marshmallow pumpkins?
Yeah. Those caramel apple suckers also.
Those were hot.
They used to be the thing.
Not the thing?
Not so hot this year. Not interested. The trick-or-treaters.
Is sour on that list anywhere? Because sour had a moment. Sour's down?
So.
I'm buying stock in the wrong candy.
Gummy bears. The Haribo gummy bears.
Yeah, up?
Up. Huge, huge up in
this
increase.
This is so interesting.
Baby Ruth candy bars.
Up?
There's an uptick in interest. 42% gain on interest in Baby Ruth candy bars. Hershey's Kisses.
Up?
Kids are interested for trick or treat.
I never see Hershey's Kisses this time of year.
No.
That is a Christmas stocking candy.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Or unless you're buying the traditional silver, but maybe they make them in a orange and a black foil.
I'd be surprised to see that, though.
Crazy.
That's not enough, right?
Also, it's too small.
It's just a kiss of candy. I want a bite.
Give me at least a handful of kisses, right?
Yeah.
I want like XXXXXX.
If
a
you're
lot
gonna
of kisses.
If you're going to hand out kisses, you got to let kids have a handful.
Yes.
Yeah.
True.
Okay.
No handful of candy corn.
No.
Handful of kisses.
That's
okay.
Loose.
Yes.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
I went from last night being an evening of just probably leisure.
Just being a leisurely Thursday?
A leisurely Thursday to an action-packed Thursday because at the very last minute, I signed up a Z102.9 vehicle to be in a trunk or treat.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was so great. We had so many kids participating. There was my favorite thing is watching the kids come by. You know, I get the trunk all set up. I got a bunch of candy and I even stopped and got some glow stick things.
Oh, fun.
The kids loved it. And I like looking at their costumes and kind of saying what I see. Oh, look at you. You're Rumi from K-Pop Demon Hunters.
Yes, I had to correct you last year. You misidentified a superhero.
I my bad. Okay, I try to do the best that I can.
No, I get it.
And I usually it's like you see it and you know there's some sort of element or piece. And it's always bad when you have to ask the person, what are you supposed to be, right? It totally made one person's night when my husband and I were both able to quickly identify exactly what he was. He was David Pumpkins from Saturday Night Live.
Was it a little kid?
No, it was an adult.
But still.
It was a dad who was taking his kids around. He's like, his face lit up. He was like, you know who I am? We're like, yeah, we know who you are.
Curly wig. Pumpkin suit.
Pumpkin suit.
Yes.
Yes.
That's it.
That's what you need to be David S. Pumpkins.
I love it.
Yeah. I loved his costume. I'd say go with it. Even if people don't know what you are, at least you're seasonally appropriate.
Well, I'm glad you had an opportunity to provide some advice on clothing because I have two questions for you.
Oh, great. I'm an expert now.
I am live tonight at 7 o'clock, Anheuser-Busch and Neutral, which is their vodka seltzer, throwing a big party. We're going to be at Hazard County, Iowa City.
Ooh.
I know. I'm going back to my college days. Everybody!
Well, now, I don't know about that.
Okay, this is where you need to be Jiminy Cricket. I'm a little concerned I'm going to get caught up in the Hawkeye craziness.
Yeah.
And I need to be responsible.
Yes, you have to.
And then the follow-up question is, can I pull off the bib overalls I'm wearing now at my live broadcast tonight? And I'm going to ask you while putting my hands in my bib pockets.
Why not?
Thank you.
I say, why not?
Hazard County or not?
No.
I think it even works for Hazard County.
I think it definitely works.
Okay.
Yeah. No, absolutely. 110%, I would say.
I thought I'd change my look a little bit from band today. I'm still wearing my band polo.
When?
But I'll change my polo, but I'm going to keep on the old...
These bibs are...
Bibs. These are OG. These are my dad's...
Family heirloom, right?
1980s. Yeah. You don't find this style anymore.
But you don't always break them out. Like, this is a special game.
Well, listen to this, though. Listen.
Let me get a chair.
Because this actually came up in a text string with our tailgating friends yesterday. Bib Saturday, and I was the first to say, no! I'm wearing the exact same clothing I've now worn to the Wisconsin game and also to the Penn State game. I am wearing that exact same outfit tomorrow because I think it's lucky.
Okay.
After that, though, once there's a new month and we have a bye week, I'm willing to flush
then
that.
Then you can flush it.
And then I will move on to a new outfit. But in my silly, superstitious world.
Mr. Superstitious, you should change your shirt, right? Because if you're striping the stadium? What if it's
luckily, I'm always in black. So when we went to Wisconsin, I wore one black t-shirt and then I had a black sweatshirt. Same jeans, same socks. I joke you not.
Wow.
This is how much I get into this. I not joke.
No.
I truth you now.
Hawkeye football, not joke.
No.
Not joke for Eric.
Today it's fine. I can mess a little bit with the karma and the juju. Although I'm wearing the same polo I've now worn 3 games in a row too. So I'm all in on this, Claire. I believe that my clothing can impact the fate of my football team, so I just have to stick with me.
Very superstitious.
I'm so super, superstitious.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
Tomorrow is National DEA Drug Takeback Day, Claire.
Oh.
Where Claire and others can drop off unneeded prescription drugs at designated locations.
Waiting for this. So you got extra medications, expired stuff, whatever. You can drop it off and then it'll be disposed of properly.
Yes. Here is the where locally. Hiawatha Police Department, Cedar Rapids Police Department, Linn County Sheriff's Office will take drug drop-off. Tablets, capsules, patches, solid drugs. No liquids, no sharps.
Okay.
10 to 2 tomorrow. Find a take-back location at DEA.gov/takeback day. That's tomorrow. And is a slash.
Thank you.
We got to go outside because my doors are locked for Eric's Ag Corner due to the government shutdown.
Dang it.
Today, it's a taste of Eric's Ag Corner and Conservation Corner. Let's talk pheasant hunting.
Let's.
Ever been?
No, I have not.
I've gone with my dad a couple times in South Dakota. But we're talking Iowa pheasant hunting. The 100th season of pheasant hunting opens tomorrow in the state of Iowa, and it's going to be a good crop. We're coming off the fourth mildest winter in state history, and virtually all of the hens survived from last fall. Hatch counts are up 40%.
Oh.
Nearly 77,000 hunters took part in pheasant season last year. We're looking at 80,000 going into this season. So pheasant season starts tomorrow, the 100th pheasant season. That'll run all the way through January the 10th.
Good to know. Thank you.
And that, because we're locked out, so we're live from the lawn, that's Eric's Ag Corner. What's got us feeling all right? Our kid captain, 8-year-old Luke Johnston from Dunlap, Illinois, will be honored as the kid captain tomorrow. Hawkeyes taking on Minnesota in that blackout matchup. Luke was diagnosed at the age of 6 with an extremely rare spinal condition. He faced the risk of paralysis, and his parents found the necessary surgical expertise at the Stead Family Children's Hospital. His actual surgery was on Halloween Day.
Oh, wow.
2024. The care team came into his room in costume.
Oh.
Just to keep his spirits up. He is now 8. He loves art, puzzles, coding, and writing books. He's in second grade. His choice for the song is the song Up by Forrest Frank and Connor Price. That's the wave song at
Love
the end
it.
Of the first quarter. Up, Forrest Frank, Connor Price. That is for Luke Johnston, your 8-year-old kid captain, who will be featured tomorrow at the Hawkeye football game.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze. with Claire.
I feel like we affected Z's sleaze.
You and I?
Yes. In our discussions about the big finale for Stranger Things on Netflix, typically.
Yes.
We were saying how long these episodes are for the final season.
They're each a good hour and a half to 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
That's a movie.
Movie length. Well, apparently Netflix played the Uno reverse card and they're going to put Stranger Things, the finale, in theaters.
Each episode or the very, very, very last one?
The very, very last one. It's going to be a very limited 2-day run. 350 theaters across the country and in Canada. The screenings are going to coincide with the premiere on Netflix. It's going to start at 5 p.m. Pacific on New Year's Eve, December 31st.
Netflix is doing some very smart programming.
Uh-huh.
K-pop Demon Hunters, get people hooked, put it to a theater.
Yeah.
This, even what Taylor Swift did, a 3-day run of release of a showgirl, right?
Exactly. Get people excited. It's very limited. It's very exclusive. It's really fun. Ticket information, the theater location's all going to be announced later. It's just this is kind of a thing that they're going to try and do. The Duffer Brothers said that they're super excited getting to see it on the big screen. Incredible sound, great picture, a room full of fans. That's something that they've always wanted. What a great way to celebrate the end of this adventure.
Do you think they have to tweak that? Because they film it for television.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like a Christopher Nolan film
exactly.
for IMAX.
That was my thought.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's something that we've always wanted to do. Were they always filming in that quality?
I mean, it is cinematic quality anyway.
True.
On my television. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Hopefully it'll be around here.
Very cool. Okay. Speaking of movies, got a movie out this weekend. Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere, with Jeremy Allen White. Yes, Chef. The Bear.
The Bear.
He is playing Bruce Springsteen and he is so good in this movie. According to the cast, there are moments when he even fooled Bruce Springsteen. Mark Maron is the co-star in the movie, and he was telling Hollywood Reporter that it's incredible. He said Bruce couldn't tell on a couple of songs whether it was him singing or if it was Jeremy singing, and he would sit there and kind of try to listen and see if he could figure it out, and it was so hard. I actually have both of them singing the exact same song.
Okay, now here's number one.
Here's number one.
Sounds just like Bruce Springsteen. Is it Bruce Springsteen?
Is it?
Do you want number two?
Number two.
Here's number two. They sound the same.
Wow. Bruce Springsteen couldn't tell. I only know because they labeled them. The first one was Jeremy Allen White. The second one was Bruce Springsteen.
This is Jeremy. There's a little more vibrato.
Yeah.
In
like
Bruce's voice.
The quality is a little bit different. Sounds a little older or something.
Crazy.
The writer and director said that he knew that Jeremy Allen White could play the intensity and the vulnerability that he needed, the blue-collar physicality and the swagger that Bruce has, but he wasn't entirely sure at casting time if he could handle the singing. It wasn't until they actually got into a recording studio in Nashville and Jeremy started laying down the lyrics that they thought, oh my God, this is going to be an incredible movie.
Wait, you didn't audition him to sing first?
You should have started with that. What if he was a terrible singer?
Yeah, we cast him and they're like, oh, wait. Can he sing?
And it turns out he can kind of act his way through singing.
My God, it's good.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Okay, Halloween just around the corner. And if you own a house that is perfect for Halloween, you got to be ready for it, right?
That's part of the gig, man.
It is part of the gig. Well, the owner, whoever now owns the Poltergeist house, gets it. They are going to have the house as a trick-or-treat location.
That is such a nondescript house, though. I mean, it looks like it's, you know, one of those just shotgun houses in a California development.
You're right. That is a problem. Don't worry. They're going to take care of it. They are going to have a bunch of skeletons outside of the house.
Yes.
As a nod to the original movie. They're also going to have a very special person handing out all of the trick-or-treat candy. His name is Oliver Robbins, and he played young Robbie Freeling in the movie.
The kid?
He plays the kid who gets attacked by his own clown dog.
Yes, I know the kid. Yes.
The most terrifying scenes ever. He's going to be in the movie. If you go to the Poltergeist house near Simi Valley in California, it's going to be a spooky time.
That's cool.
Yeah, what a treat for trick-or-treaters and also terrifying. Do you have the courage to make it through?
I think that would be freaky, knowing it was a movie, but still to own that house.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was all studio inside or if the inside looks like that. that glowing orb that comes down the stairs.
Yeah. Ah!
There's a lot. And actually, if you can't make it out trick-or-treating there in California on Halloween, you can always book the house. It's on Airbnb.
The house is clean.
Do you want to do?
If it comes with a little medium lady, I'll take it.
I'll take it. As long as she's with.
Yes.
That's what we like to call.
Z's Sleaze.
On this 43rd week of the year, 2025, we present Nerd News. Broadcasting from an elevation of 840 feet above sea level at a latitude of 41.88 degrees north on a longitude of 91.72 degrees west, you would think with frigid temperatures, you wouldn't have to worry about mosquitoes.
Yeah, that's kind of the nice part of things kind of simmering down as the bugs go away.
Well, planet's getting warmer, and the country of Iceland has its first report of mosquitoes ever.
Ever?
Three mosquitoes, two females and a male. How do you tell? Were found in West Iceland, the first confirmed discovery of mosquitoes on Icelandic soil, according to the Icelandic Institute of Natural History. This just happened within this month. Scientists describe the find as significant, noting this is a cold-resistant species that can survive conditions by sheltering through winter in basements and barns.
No!
They believe the appearance is warming climate.
My basement?
Well, you don't live in Iceland.
No,
their basement.
Like their basement.
Well,
like,
as we now know here, we have more mosquito population because they're not dying off like they typically do in the wintertime. We have warmer winters even in the Midwest. There's also a ton more international travel. Iceland has become a tourist destination.
But I'm just saying, it's weird that they're going into people's homes.
Well, like,
barn makes sense. Like, that's an outdoor facility.
But basement?
Get out of my house!
Don't know how they're getting it. Leave the door closed.
Oh.
Antarctica, now the only place in the world they believe do not have mosquitoes. Iceland and Antarctica. And now
Antarctica.
You see a polar bear? What was that? Ow!
And then the poltergeist kid's like, they're here.
The mosquitoes are here. Okay. We did a lot of road tripping when I was a kid. And every once in a while, it's like the alligator farm or, you know, pet a reptile.
Something on the side.
Pan for gold, right?
Roadside attractions.
Real pearls. Good luck. You pick a clam out of the water. Does it have a pearl in it? An Indiana man was visiting Crater of Diamonds State Park in Arkansas. This is an actual place where you are allowed to gem hunt. And oh boy, did he find something. He found a 2.71 carat white diamond.
What?
Dewey White, interesting, said he and his wife were at Crater of Diamonds State Park for a couple of days on a long road trip. And they had so much fun, they decided to go back on the back end of their journey, better prepared. Because they didn't know anything about how it worked. So you can rent shovels. They actually went to a hardware store and got a couple screens.
Uh-huh.
So you could like pan the dirt and see what comes out. Well, he was digging and his wife was screen panning or whatever you would call it. And he's like, something is shiny on my shovel. What is that? He thought it was a quartz.
Oh.
Lo and behold, it was a 2.71 carat white diamond. It's about the size of a pea. That's a big diamond.
No kidding.
His discovery is the fourth largest diamond that has been found at the park this year. Now, I don't know if it's finders keepers.
Yeah, does it go back to the park?
Or does the park get hold of that? And I also don't know in my gemology if this is as rare, like as a diamond you would buy at a diamond store.
Yeah.
Or it's naturally occurring, it's categorized as a diamond, but either way.
Like the cut and clarity or whatever.
2.71. That's a rock.
Wow.
Right? Just put that in a setting.
Yep.
It'll be beautiful. Okay. If you can race in a cardboard boat, you can race in a giant pumpkin.
Oh, my.
Last Sunday was the 2025 West Coast Giant Pumpkin Regatta races in Oregon. They take pumpkins that weigh 700 to 1,000 pounds, carve them out big enough for one person to get in, and they also come in costume.
Nice.
The race, Claire, you and I have emceed the event at Ellis for a couple of years. This actual race is a quarter mile.
Oh, my.
You are rowing a pumpkin for a quarter mile.
And I feel like with the cardboard boats, it comes down to aerodynamics, but a pumpkin can't be that, you know, like cutting
you
through the water.
You just bob in the water, right? Now,
that
the good news is
hard.
It's buoyant, so as long as you're not bringing water in, you should not sink.
Right.
They do a variety of different rounds. There's one for growers. There's one for event sponsors, local officials, media, celebrities. But then the public loves this. This thing is so popular, they have to do a lottery every year. People sign up and then find out whether or not they actually get to enter the pumpkin race. They also get awards for top costumes. They said very elaborate this year. Some of the favorites, there was a Buddy the Elf in a pumpkin. The Very Hungry Caterpillar. That was a top costume.
That's awesome.
They had Ted Lasso, a Top Gun pilot, and then somebody dressed as a pickle in a pumpkin.
Pickle
in a pumpkin.
Ah!
Giant pumpkin races coming soon.
I would say, hey, Anamosa, think about it.
Oh, that's a great idea for you, Anamosa. That's nerd news.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
B102.9.
Band, are you ready?
Hey. Listen to that.
Announcer's name, are you ready, sir?
You bet, sir.
All right, throw on some pants. Let's dance.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Halftime. Under the baton of Director of Bands, dance it, John Philip Sousa Hansen. Yeah. And musical director Greg Young. Yay! The Z102.9 marching band is feeling a little uneasy. Yeah, it's understandable that going into an extra spooky weekend may give you a sense of fright or fear, or as Trombone Mickey puts it, my tummy feels funny. However, the fear you're feeling heading into Halloween is not about the ghouls, ghosts, and goblins. It's not about making sure you've stockpiled enough Kit Kat bars to keep your stupid, annoying neighbor kids happy. Oh no, it is worse than all of that. The scariest thing about Halloween, and especially upcoming Halloween parties, is dancing in public. Now, don't panic, band. There's a surefire way to eliminate this fear. Just listen to the lyrics. The lyrics are there to help. When you watch Claire dance, for example, she doesn't move to the music. She moves to the words. Literally. Whatever they're singing, she's doing. Here's an example. Claire, freeze frame. 1, 2, 3. All right, I see some nodding out there, but I also see some confused faces. Or maybe that's just Tremaine's resting tuba face. Speaking of Tremaine, let's see if he can model this dance-to-the-lyrics approach for the rest of the band. Claire, if you wouldn't mind helping Tremaine out of his folding chair. Why one of the youngest members of this band needs a folding chair is beyond me. Help him up and try this one on for size. Claire and Tremaine, jump!
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, that's it. You're getting it, band. Look how far you've come this morning. We've made some real progress tackling this phobia of dancing in public. Just listen to the words, see what moves other people are doing, and remember, there's always strength in numbers. There's always more strength in having a few drinks before dancing. Okay, band, I think you're ready to abandon this fear and hit the Halloween dance floor. Let's put this to the test. Everybody play along and dance along. Just watch Claire if you must, too. Apache, jump on it.
Ready, go.
marching band. This is announcer's name saying happy Halloween. Enjoy the second half and go Hawkeyes.
This is the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble
on Z102.9.
The border battle, the Minnesota Gophers and the Iowa Hawkeyes taking to the field at Kinnick Stadium 2:30 on CBS coming up tomorrow.
Getting excited for that game. But before we let the team play, we need to break down.
Before we let the team
play? We let them. Yes. We say, all right, go ahead, play your game.
Take the field, boys.
We need to prepare ourselves, do we not?
Yes, we do.
Let's break it down a little bit. Talk some Hawks with Matt Vandenberg. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Matt, what did I see in Iowa City last Saturday? Was it a team that kept getting in its own way? This might be a multiple choice.
Yeah. A.
Was it a team that pulled it out in the end?
B.
Was it a Penn State game that didn't have any direction?
Or C?
Or all of the above?
D, all of the above.
I'm going to go with all of the above.
Okay.
But the interim head coach, I think he did fine.
He did fine. He went for it a lot on fourth down.
And I thought he kind of got the team coached up, like fire in the belly, right?
Well, I think they kind of had a chip on their shoulder when they walked in.
Oh,
so
sure.
Peacock, when it wasn't glitching for the $24 that I had to pay to watch the
Thank
game.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But before the game, they were interviewing him. He said, we're coming in here to shock the world. I was like, well, you're Penn State, like,
shock the world first.
You know, he did shock the world. You lost.
He did.
But he got them ready. They played hard. Kind of talked a little bit last week, Claire. I'm so sorry you weren't here. about how there's two responses to a coach firing. You either play really fired up or you kind of just crap the bed. And they played fired up.
Yes.
They played inspired. You know, against our top, I think we were the top fourth down defense in college football, and they converted two. That's just not something that happens at all.
So I need to apologize to my section because I lost it early in the game. We had them at fourth and four, and he scrambled for a first down.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in my head. I'm like, that's the one if that play happens and we stop them there, they are going to roll over.
Well, yep.
And we didn't. I'm like, it frustrated me.
Right before halftime?
The blocked field goal. Yeah,
that
rather.
That was just a kick in the stomach.
Well, it felt like that game had a lot of those kick in the stomach moments, but yet, go Hawks, we figured it out.
I say it's just like Rutgers. They found themselves down and somehow rallied to get there. But I think there's something to be said. There's quarterbacks that happen to be a quarterback while you're winning, and then there's quarterbacks that are winners. And I think that Mark Gronkowski is a winner. So although, again, we've dropped two games this year. Indiana, we were really close. He didn't finish the game. And then Iowa State, obviously, just kind of missed that one there at the end as well. But the point being, like, Mark knows how to win. And when the big play needed to happen, he runs 60 yards. He said afterwards he's got to unhook the trailer in order to get out there, get score.
Yeah.
But, like, that kind of stuff, he just finds ways to make that happen. Now, we only threw the ball twice in the second half. We got to be able to throw the ball better than that.
Yeah.
But when the run game is doing as well as it is, I mean, think Kamari Moulton had 99 yards.
Yeah.
Mark Gronkowski had 138 or 168. Like, when we're able to move the ball and control the clock, that's really what leads to success.
I kept getting worried for him because I know that, like, you know, he had some injuries,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if that was kind of plaguing him, but it seemed like you kind of he had that in his head and then shook it off at some point. I don't know how or why.
I would say normally one kick, one cut or one hit, and you're like, all right, this is where I'm at. It held up. Now I can go and move forward and do what I need.
Just build the confidence.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But when the offensive line is moving guys like they were, don't get me wrong, Penn State played really well, but we had a couple of interceptions. Deshaun Lee's diving interception was really cool. TJ Hall playing, they had a tight end on him one-on-one. He played hard inside, knew a slant was coming, and that kind of goes to film study that we don't really talk about on here, but the amount of time that they spend watching tape of, okay, if the tight end is here, he's either running one of these three routes. I know I can cover him on these two, but on this one, I have to be inside leverage so I can be ready for it. Boom, Xavier picks it off. Almost
scores on that one, too. Yeah.
Correct. So that kind of little things are starting to show up.
So we know we've got Minnesota coming in. That's always a big rivalry game. They have a new defensive coordinator. What else do we know about the Gophers?
Well, true freshman quarterback. He is playing relatively well. They run a lot of deep routes and then some crossers. They're not I don't want to call them Wisconsin, but they normally have one running back that carries it like 95 times a game. And then they just say, this is how we're going to run it. They're starting to have a little bit more of a stable of running backs, kind of like what Iowa has. Once Jazz Patterson gets back in, we're going to have four or five guys that can legitimately carry the ball. Defensively, they got after Nebraska. Now, part of that is Nebraska's quarterback isn't quite on rhythm, right? Like, he's got I don't want to call him moxie because I don't like it. But he's going to roll around a little bit. But they were bringing three guys and sacking Rayola. I think they had eight sacks in that game. They only had six leading up into it. But you kind of led to the point of we've had seven turnovers in the last four games. that has to continue. Because, again, a Minnesota team, don't get me wrong, I think P.J. Fleck has done a really good job there. And that's about as much credit as I'm going to give him. Mm-hmm. Because I think if you get up on a Minnesota team early, I think that Iowa specifically, because they wear the I Hate Iowa shirts.
There's a guy. No, I've been to that stadium.
Fan versus fan.
Oh, my God. Yes.
It's a
horrible.
Lot of contention.
Yeah.
Well, when Minnesota went to Nebraska, or it was Nebraska at Minnesota, I apologize. A Nebraska fan was wearing an I Hate Iowa shirt. Like, yeah. You're not even playing. Like, go
you're
focus on your own team.
Right.
That's why you got whooped. Like,
come
it's
on.
It's one of those things.
Yeah.
So with this, because they have that kind of animosity for Iowa, I think if we shut them down early, it's kind of like a not again, especially if it's 10 out of 11.
Right. That's a good way to go. And yeah, get up. Because yeah, last year, we had to come back. They had some mm-hmm. initial success in Minneapolis, and then Iowa just took over the second half of that game.
Let's
which
do
is
that.
Typically what happens. The yes. second half has belonged to Iowa this year.
Do you want to give a prediction of what you think the score
will
be? We
rarely put him on
well,
the
I've
spot
never
that
done
way.
This to you. But,
I kind of like it.
But
like
how
it.
Do you feel about this?
They have been playing better. But I don't think they're going to be able to move the ball in the second half. I would almost put it at like a 24-14 game.
Okay. I just like to know
so
kind of
they're
going to
score
thinking.
A couple, but
they'll get a few. They'll go down the field on their first drive. We'll realize kind of what their tempo is, and then we'll shut them down, similar to like a Rutgers.
And again, Iowa giving up two turnovers. One was the blocked field goal. One was an interception. That was 14 points right there for Penn
yeah.
State. You eliminate those mistakes, also against Iowa State, also a little bit against Indiana, and we could be looking at a different team this
and
year.
And both of those things are just little technique things. On
yes.
the field goal, so we got to interlock our legs so that way nobody can get through. Our tackle got pushed back, so we didn't interlock legs with the guard, and what I mean is over the top so that way you can't push through.
Mm-hmm.
And put your knuckles on the ground because they can't jump off of your back. You have to physically jump over them without touching them, otherwise it's a penalty. And so we didn't interlock legs, so it gets kicked. And
I'm learning so much.
Well, and on a 66-yard field goal, you have to have a lower trajectory so
yes.
you can go that far. So those two things boded for the block. On the other one, we didn't reach out and grab the ball. We let it get into our shoulder pads, doink up in the air, gets picked. So those are two very easy technique fixes.
That we can fix. Okay, before we have you sneak out the door, because we got to give away some cash, Claire, let's get one little piece of lore when it comes to Minnesota.
So on their campus, it's almost like if Tin Man was made in 2025.
Okay.
Like a lot of sharp edges, like a modern art piece, but they have a Tin Man statue, okay? And they say that if you walk under or in between its legs, you're not going to graduate in 4 years.
Why would you? It's like a ladder. Why would you walk under a ladder?
You don't do that.
So they say that people that walk under there change majors for no reason other than they just had to do it.
That's crazy.
Now,
so
there is a cure.
Just do
there
it
is
to
a cure.
It? Oh, there's a cure.
There's a cure.
Climb
find...
on it.
Well, there's two ways. There's two ways to fix it. Either
go around
a,
it.
Well, you're actually not far off. Either A, you touch Goldie, the Goldie statue on campus, or you pole vault over the Tin Man, and that's how you're able to.
Pole vaulting?
Minnesota's a weird state, man.
So weird.
I can't
Watch
imagine
out.
Too many people pole vaulting up there. But
no kidding.
No.
Teach their own.
That's right. Talking Hawks, Matt Vandenberg, thanks for coming in. We appreciate all the information, all the lore, getting ready for Iowa and Minnesota coming up on Saturday.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.